Chapter 9. The Divine Agent. I have heard that there is one American scientist who is researching, and he says that if he can get one cell from the body of Napoleon, he can make many Napoleons. In a potato, many sprouts may come, and if we cut them, one sprout will produce a potato plant. So also in the human body there are many cells, and according to their scientific theory, we can somehow create a man from one of the characteristic cells of his body. The mentality, the vigor, everything is contained in every particle of which the body is constructed. In a general sense, there is some importance in bodily or hereditary succession. In India, some recognition is given to the caste Brahmanas, those born in Brahmin families. But there are exceptions. So a birth from a Shudra, labourer class or Mlecha, race devoid of Vedic culture, body, is generally considered impure. From their ancestors, they do not observe particular rites or pure customs, and the impurity is there. Many of the smarter section and Shankarite interpreters, and some of the Madhva school also, hold that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Harinam, the purification of the subtle body is effected. But the karma which is destined to be suffered or enjoyed in this particular body cannot be purified by Harinam or anything else. Karma, or the action that we have done in our previous life, is classified aprarabdha phalam papam kutam bijam phalonmukham kramenaiva praliyato vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. The four types of sin known as aprarabdha, kuta, bij and phalonmukh are gradually eradicated for persons exclusively attached to devotion for the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Prarabdha is the karma or action which has been attached to be enjoyed or suffered in this body, and aprarabdha is that which is deposited to be experienced in the future. Prarabdha means that which has already begun, and aprarabdha is that which has been reserved for the future. The stages of progress from manifest to unmanifest are classified in three: kutam, bijam, phalonmukham. We can find this discussed in detail by Srila Rupa Goswami with various scriptural quotations in his Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Kutam means the undetectable portion of our past action. We cannot read the actions and results contained there, present in a microscopic way. They are undetectable to us. We are told that in Japan they are preserving a library where the letters of the book cannot be read by the ordinary eye. The letters are so tiny that they cannot be read by the naked eye, but they must be magnified by a microscopic process. So kutam is that which is undetectable, like a plane of action that will gradually manifest and demand its satisfaction. Bijam, or seed, means something which is more detectable, more clear. We can identify a particular seed and know which type of plant it will produce. And phalon mukham refers to actions that are waiting to achieve their realization very soon. They are demanding. In the stage of prarabdha, the previous actions have reached their satisfaction in this body. These are the divisions. The general Vedic scholars are of the opinion that prarabdha, or that which has already begun to be experienced in this body, cannot be changed. It is out of hand. And reactions that are reserved for the future may be finished by our good activity, and we may not have to undergo them. But the Gaudiya Vaishnava school says that this prarabdha can also be removed. What is already destined to be experienced in this body can also be removed by Harinam and by no other means. Only Krishna Nam, Harinam, can purify one from that which is already begun to be experienced in this body. He may be purified. A Shudra or Mlecha properly taking Harinam may be converted to Brahmanism. It is possible by Harinam. The Gaudiya school has given quotations from different places, and by analysis of the meaning of those quotations, it holds that one may be free from the prarabdha karma which has already begun to be experienced in this life. Bhaktyaham mikaya graya shadayatma priyashatam bhakti punati mannishta shapakan api sambhavat. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. I, the Supreme Lord, and the Most Beloved, am attainable by the pure saints, by virtue of the potency of their exclusive devotion, born of faith, Shraddha. Exclusive devotion in me purifies even the lowest outcasts, known as Chandalas. Shva means dog. Even the dog eaters, that is, the lower section, can also be purified from their lower birth. Another verse in the same line of thought is this: Jannamadhya shavananukirtanat yat pravanat yat smaranat api kvachit shvado pi sadya shavanaya kalpate kuta punaste bhagavan nudarshanat. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.6. Devahuti said, O Lord, if he just hears your name, then chants it, offers you obeisances and remembers you, even a person born as a dog-eating outcast instantly becomes eligible to perform the Soma sacrifice, to say nothing of the purification of those who see you directly. Those dog-eaters and lowest class of people can be immediately purified by taking the name of the Lord. When the prarabdha has gone, person becomes like Indra, but not Indra proper, a little less. Shravanaya kalpate means Indra kalpa. Now, please note very attentively Srila Jiva Goswami's remark in his commentary. Shravanaya kalpate means he becomes purified to such a standard that he can perform the sacrifice which is reserved only for the Brahmanas. Kalpate means a little difference. So here, Srila Jiva Goswami has given his own commentation. What is the little difference? When that person's prarabdha has gone, he attains the position of a boy of a Brahmin. But the boy is not allowed to perform the Brahmin yajna until and unless he is given the sacred thread. A shamskar, purificatory ceremony, is necessary. Janmana jayate shudra. By birth, everyone is impure, but by shamskar, they are purified. But who will be fit for the shamskar? Only the Brahmin boy. Now, he reaches the stage of the Brahmin boy and not the Brahmin. He may have come from any caste, but after taking Harinam, he should be considered to have reached the stage of a Brahmin boy. And again, when that Gayatri Shamskar or Brahman Shamskar is given, he gets the recognition of a bona fide Brahmin, and he can perform the Yajna and Shalagram Archan, worship of the deity Shalagram Shila, etc. So with the Harinam, taking the name of the Lord, in a proper way, of course, the karma vanishes, and with body purified, he is considered to be a Brahmin boy. And when the sacred thread is conferred to him, he will become eligible for all the Brahminical activities. This is the scientific position. So Pancharatrakri Diksha may not be necessary. Harinam is sufficient. Still, the Brahman Shamskar, the Gayatri or Vedic Shamskar is given, and Pancharatrakri Diksha is also given to help him to a greater degree. For example, one may win a university scholarship, and there may also be a district scholarship that comes to help him. The student's university scholarship is all important, but some subservient appreciation also comes to somewhat enhance his position.
The Harinam circle is the purifying circle, and it is the greatest circle, extending in circumference from the lowest to highest. And the Pancharatrika help is a circle within the circle. It will help the candidate in taking the name and other important practices. But without it, one may also practice. But there are so many Brahmins and Karmakandis, fruitive religionists, who will offensively consider that the Vaishnavas are inferior because they have not received the sacred thread. Those Brahmins, etc., must be saved. Also, a person who is taking the name may think that Brahmins are superior and the chanter of the name holds a lesser position. His abhiman or ego must also be helped to go higher. Yes, I am said to be more than a Brahmin, so I shall have to become very careful about my movements, my eating and other practices. This will help him to know that he must not go below the standard of an ordinary purificatory section. At the same time, society will also be warned to deal properly with those persons who are taking the name of Hari, by conceiving that they are exclusively given to the chanting of the name of Hari, and are therefore superior to a Brahmana. This system was introduced by our Guru Maharaj. He conferred the sacred thread extensively. That is to give the position of a Brahmin outwardly. In calculation from the inner side, a Vaishnav is above a Brahmin. But from the outer side also, he created this particular society in which a Vaishnav, who is exclusively given to Krishna consciousness, must be recognized as not less, but more than a Brahmin. He reformed the society to establish the position of the Vaishnav, thus also encouraging him, "You must not go down. You are taking the name of Hari, exclusively given to Krishna consciousness, and you must maintain your position in the external way, so that even the Brahmins or the Vedic school will feel some reverence for the position you hold. You must be cautious in your dealings and in your practices, and also the society will think, 'Don't underestimate these persons who are exclusively given to Krishna consciousness.'" In this way, he reformed society. Although Mahaprabhu had not introduced this, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, adjusted the society to bring Mahaprabhu's teachings to the world in a broad way. Previously, Rupa, Sanatan and followers did not care to take any sacred thread. Also, in the sannyas system of the Varnashram, Shankara and others give up the sacred thread to the fire when they take sannyas, showing that they have no necessity of a sacred thread. They're above that, above Brahmin. Yet their creed is, "We are one with Brahman." And here is the infinite difference. The higher a Vaishnav is, the more he will say, "I am the slave of Krishna and the slave of the slaves of the slave of Krishna." But the Mayavadis identify themselves with the highest entity. They have fallen prey to complete misconception of the revealed scriptures or Veda. This is the position. In Manu Sanghita, we find three classes of births. Matur agre dijananang dvitiyang mungjibandhane tritiyang yoga dikshayang trijasya shruti chodanat. Manu Sanghita 2.260. Matur agre tijananam. First we take our body from the mother or the parents. Dutiyang Monji Bandhane. The second birth is by receiving sacred thread in a Brahmin family. Tritiyang Jagadikshayam. Again, the third is to take this Pancharatri Diksha to help for further progress. This is in Manu Sanghita. A Brahmin man has three births. The second, Monji Bandhane, is Gayatri or Vedic Diksha. It teaches us, try to have your reading from the example that has been set by the Veda. Don't believe what your experience tells you, but try to follow how the revealed truth wants you to read the environment. Don't survey your environment with your own fleshy eye and ear, but with a more scientific education, try to see things beyond that. Of course, science is also generally mundane, but revealed truth tells us to see things in another way. Nothing is for me, but everything is for the Supreme Authority. We are a particle of that. Try to read your environment in this way. Everything belongs to the center, and we are a part of that organic whole, and our duty must be ascertained accordingly. This is the Vedic process of reading the environment. An ordinary vision is, I am monarch of all I survey. We want to utilize everything for our purpose. This is mundane. Dibyam gyanam jito dadyat kujat papa shashankshayam tasmat tikshiti sha prokta deshikaish tattako vidai. What is the meaning of the word diksha? Diksha is the process by which Dibya Gyan, or transcendental knowledge, is imparted to a person. Upanayan means that a new eye is given to the person. The eye with which you now see cannot see correctly, but the eye is given from the Vedas as Gayatri. From this time onwards, try to learn your environment in a different way. Bhu, Bhuva, Svaha, Maha, Jana, Tapa, Satya. These planes of the world of your experience evolve from consciousness. Bhu means the world of this fleshy eye, ear, etc. Bhuva means the mental aspect of the same. In this way there are finer and finer conceptions of things. And what is the cause of such experience? Our consciousness, soul, the light within us. So only with the help of that can we read things around us impartially. Savitur Varenyam. And there is another realm that is venerable to this gross world of conception. Another worshipable and finer realm is there. There is another plane. God with his entourage lives there. All serve him, the center, and that is the norm there. It is perfectly known to the members of that world that the center is all in all. We must obey the central authority, and there we can thrive. That is proper life. There is another world in the subtlemost area. Above our soul is the super soul area. The Gayatri Mantra comes to help us with all these things. It teaches us, don't think what you read by the experience of your fleshy senses is all in all. There are other planes of life, and you must recognize them and prepare your life's program accordingly. You cannot divorce the possibility of these different planes of existence. Prepare yourself properly for the great task. Although at this moment you cannot have any experience of it, there is a super experienced world, and you must prepare yourself for that. Otherwise you will have to end your life in failure. You can attain good success in this life. This is the purpose of Diksha. Transcendental knowledge, Divyam Gyanam, is imparted to the man who would otherwise depend on his experienced knowledge or the knowledge drawn from his perception. The Harinam Diksha is the most central and simple. There is one sound aspect of the Lord, and you may come in touch with that and go on cultivating the sound aspect of the whole in Krishna consciousness. Only with the connection and cultivation of his sound aspect you can go to the centre, that is Harinam. And in the case of the mantra, the name is couched in a particular way to give the meaning, I am casting myself unto him for his satisfaction. The mantra is couched in such a way that we pray, I am throwing myself for the satisfaction of my Supreme Lord. That helps us to take the name with the proper attitude. Shavan Mukh, we are dying for real life. Sacrifice means die to live. It is to throw oneself. The process of surrender has been given in the mantra. How should you advance in taking the name? What is the process? You must throw yourself and your ego of experience to the fire. That will be destroyed and the inner ego will emerge, and that will be more beneficial for you to take the real name and to approach the real plane where Krishna, your Lord, is living. This is to go home. These are the points in Diksha. Devotee asks, sometimes my Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master, used to say that within this lifetime one can be perfected and then, at the end of this lifetime, go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Guru Maharaj replies, it is very rarely found that in this one life, in a single life, from this plane one can reach the highest life. But generally it requires lives together, if in a real process. There may also be setbacks. If one commits Vaishnav Aparad or Nam Aparad, offence to the Vaishnav or the holy name, he may be detained again and again. It is not such a cheap thing. Still, there is the possibility that when properly guided, a proper soul may attain the highest position in a single life. It is not impossible. Devotee. Sometimes he said that a devotee could take birth where Krishna is having his pastimes within this material world, and he will be trained according to his given service to Krishna, and after that go to Golok. Srila Guru Maharaj, what do you think? That is to live in Vrindavan. That must be helpful. But this Navadip is more helpful. There is the possibility of committing offences. We can be misled by taking lust as love. We can misidentify our enjoyment as devotion or prema. The possibility is there. In that case, we would become sahajiya. They imitate everything. What is the value of only living in the land of what we see by our senses? It has been told that the Dharma is aprakrit, not material, not to be experienced by our senses. We must try to live in that Dham, the Chinmoy, that is, the fully conscious area. So if we really do not want to deceive ourselves, we must not ignore the steps by which we may go there. With proper help and inspiration, we may know that Vrindavan is for the higher. We may get some inspiration. Caution is needed in attending Krishna Dham, as much as it is required for attending Krishna Leela. But if we are not sincere, we may commit offences, and that will hurl us down. Rather, Navadip Dham is more accommodating. There also, aparad is possible, but it may be minimised. Navadip will help us, as sadhakas, aspirants, to feel, I am not so high, I am not holding such a high position as those of Vrindavan. In chanting the name or residing in the Dham, with everything there is consideration of offences, and less consideration of offences is found in Navadip Dham. It is more liberal. Still, the most important factor is Sadhu Sangha, the superior guide. Srila Narottam Thakur has written, Tita Jotta Parishram Kevana Manera Brahma Sarasiddhi Govinda Charan. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also written, Jetitte Vaishnava Noi সেইটি তেটি নহি জয় কিলব হত্যে দূরাদেশ চুতায় বৈষ্ণবগণ সেই স্থান বৃন্দাবন সেই স্থানে অনন্দ অশেষ. Where is Vrindavan? We may only reach Vrindavan at the proper stage of realization. If we take Vrindavan in the physical sense, we will commit so many offences according to our habit, and we shall have to go mentally downwards. So the illumination given by the sadhu and shastra should be our guide. Only by that way can we go to Vrindavan, or anywhere and everywhere. But the guiding star must always be our guru to guide us and show us what is what. As long as myself is not rising to that stage, I am always in need of a guide to show me what is what. What is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is not a physical eye experience. It is not in the world of our flesh experience. It is highest of the high. Through Shraddha, faith, we must begin our journey beyond the subjective towards the supersubjective area. That is Vrindavan proper, where we can find Krishna proper. It is not to be found in any physical plane. He can come here. The higher plane can come in the gross, but it is not easy for those who are living in the gross plane to rise up to the higher. They can come, an agent can come, and they can take us there. But without the help of the agent, it is not easy to go to that highest plane by our own experience. So our necessity is always sadhu sangha. To go to Vrindavan, we must have a guide. He will always caution us to see things with the proper angle of vision. A guide, sadhu sangha, is the most important factor in the life of a bona fide seeker of the truth. And next is shastra, revealed scripture. In Bhagavad Gita, there are classifications in three classes, satta, raja, and tama. The lowest kind of knowledge forcibly says that things are not what they are. This is tamogun, such as thinking, I am this body. In rajagun, there is doubt, oh, this may not be that. My conjecture and experience may not be perfect. And sattva, the last, is of course to understand things properly as they are. So knowledge is of different stages. To think that Vrindavan is in our mundane eye, ear and touch experience can never be Vrindavan. Vrindavan proper is in the super soul area, and only our atma, soul, can go there. Not this body, mind, etc. Otherwise, what is the necessity of spiritual practices or sadhana, the means to the end? Thus, diksha is to throw oneself to the Vedic doctrine, to give up one's own knowledge of experience and invite the revealed estimation of the environment. It is to leave this world of mundane experience and to go to the transcendental world. Somehow we must effect that journey. There is no shortcut within that journey. Of course, with the help of a proper guide, we may have a shortcut in the sense that we do not waste valuable time. Also, if we had some experience of the way in a previous life, that may help us to shorten the journey of this life. Devotee. I went to an ashram where they said that without directly receiving the Siddha Pranali, or revelation of one's internal identity as a gopi, etc., spiritual perfection is incomplete. Srila Guru Maharaj, let them do so. They are representing the Sahajiya school. Our Guru Maharaj wrote several poems, one of which is Prakriti Rasa Shatta Dushani, 100 defects in the Sahajiya conception. The defects are innumerable, but our Guru Maharaj put forward 100 points of the defects in their process of advancement. Mainly, they are very easy purchases. They are not prepared to pay the real price. But the death blow to them is this. Upajaya badilatta pramanda bhedi joy, piraja pramalok bhedi parabhyom bhai. tabe joy tad upari koloka vrindavan krishna charan kalpa vrikshe kare arohan. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19, 153 and 4. One must first cross the different gross and subtle layers of the Brahmanda, mundane universe, then Viraja, the extremity of the jurisdiction of Maya or misconception, then the Brahman conception, the halo of the real or transcendental world, then Vaikuntha, which is Paravyom, a sphere of consciousness. The jiva comes from Tatashta Lok, the marginal position or the abscissa, and he must go through higher planes where the soil is more valuable than he himself. Can you follow?
Devotee,
yes.
Srila Guru Maharaj,
Vaikunthera prithiviyadi shakala chinmoy. What is Vaikuntha? There, the soil, earth, water, everything is of purer consciousness than the person who is going to enter there. Can you imagine it?
Devotee,
in one of your books you mentioned a land of gurus.
Srila Guru Maharaj,
yes, they are all guru. They are all of superior value by nature. Yet we have to pass over them. I sometimes give an example that if it is necessary for the service, we may even put our foot on the throne of the Lord, for example, to place his crown on his head, etc., and afterwards come back down, offer our obeisance, and then come out from the deity room. So we must enter and stay in a soil which is made of a stuff which is more valuable than our own selves. A slave, when serving the emperor, may come near the emperor's bed, where even his near and dear cannot go, or will hesitate to go. He can, only for serving. So it is only for the divine service, for the necessity of the highest, that we can pass through that soil. It is not an easy thing. It is inconceivable. The fools rush in where angels fear to tread.
Vaikunthera prithiviyadi shakala chinmoy.
We must understand the conception properly. The jiva has emerged from the tatashta shakti, or marginal potency. He is a part of the marginal potency, and he must enter into the higher plane. This gross world is of gross potency, apara shakti. The jiva, although marginal, is of a potency superior to this gross world, or para shakti, and above both is the internal potency, or antaranga shakti. We have to enter into antaranga shakti. This marginal potency is to enter into antaranga shakti, and that is Paravyom, and the highest quarter, Vrindavan, Golok. It is not a light matter. It is the fact. So we must serve. In this world there is exploitation and renunciation. Beyond them is dedication. Dedication is the proper and normal world. There are gradations according to our inner tendency of serving a particular calling. We may be allowed to enter that plane where all around is reverential soil. We must go there. Apparently it is impossible, but it is possible by grace, kripa. That is called kripa, his grace, his free will. He is autocrat. Affection, rag, anurag, does not differentiate between great and small. It is very generous. Only through affection and love is it possible to expect to go there one day. But it is not so easy. When one young devotee began to show so many apparently devotional sentiments, others came to me asking, "He is showing so many signs of higher bhav, sentiments. Are they real?" I said, "Never." Mahaprabhu says, "I am hankering for a drop of real prem. I have not yet got that. Still I am weeping, shedding tears so much, crying, 'Krishna, Krishna.' But that is all hypocrisy, because the positive proof is here. Without him, I am living.
I did not disappear, dissolve. I'm living, I'm eating, I'm taking bath, I'm sleeping. This is positive proof that I have no genuine love for Krishna. Mahaprabhu himself says that. It is such a valuable thing, and we think ourselves masters of it overnight. Fools, deceivers, self-deceivers. In the positive way, it can never be attained. Only in the negative way, we can have some conception. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Pichokshana kori dekite chohile hoy, hoy oki aguchar. Suddenly a flash came, but when I tried to see that, it disappeared. It was withdrawn. In this way, in a negative way, we can have some idea. Whimsically he may come, and suddenly I may feel, oh, some experience of the higher kind of knowledge and love. But if I try to cast my eye that side, nothing. Do you want to die? Then come to live. We shall have to invite wholesale dissolution of everything in our experience. Hegel's words help us. Die to live. What is generally considered a concrete, valuable thing must be cast into fire for some hope which is ununderstandable, unknown and unknowable. Sacrifice means that. Sacrifice gives that suggestion. It may be thought that we pour such a valuable foodstuff, ghee, into fire. That ghee is burnt in the fire and smoke is produced, and that will create a healthier atmosphere, a kind of filtering that we invite for our benefit. Of course, to say such a thing is improper and ridiculous, yet the benefit from the unknown quarter is there. Unknown. Be disgusted with your known world, knowledge, pleasure, everything. Die to live. All risk, no gain. And when the destination has been reached to a certain extent, all gain, no risk. Actually, what we risk is all concoction, the misunderstanding aspect. We only need to throw our misconception into fire to gain a proper conception of reality. When the unreal is put into fire, we gain the real. To die to live means this. Here in this world, we are all habituated to think, I am monarch of all I survey. We want to become a monarch. Whether we are monarch or not, our tendency is to want to be monarch. All of us want to be monarch. And there is another reactionary school that says, I do not want anything. I want nothing but dreamless sleep. Cessation is the most valuable thing in our experience, complete cessation of this life. Both these aspects of enjoyment or exploitation and renunciation must be eliminated, and a third plane should be found to live in. That third plane is the life of a gentleman, the life of dedication, a life of duty, not to any part, but for the whole. I live for the whole, and that whole is a part of Lord Krishna. This is to be a lover of the beautiful. In that way we have to understand and march onward. Attava bahunaitena king gyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyayam idam krishnam ikangshena stito jagat. Arjun, the infinite of your conception is in my one negligible part. I am so great that the infinite of your conception is contained in only a fraction of me. Then what is our chance of approaching him? We may think, Krishna is only a reflection of a picture in my mind. There is Krishna, the whole forms his one part, and I am approaching him. My only solace will be that I am going through his agent. He has sent his agent to recruit me, and that is my hope. He has sent his men to recruit me. He is so kind and benevolent, and that will be my hope. I must be thankful for that, and not be a traitor to his agent. We must be cautious to see that we do not play treachery with his agent
for thereby we commit treachery against ourselves.
Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupad Ki Jai. Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Divine Tribute.
You are all his contribution. Srila Swami Maharaj, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada brought you here, attracted you to this side, and I have been given some opportunity to serve you in this way by speaking to you. Willingly or unwillingly, I am forced to do some service in that line. It was so wonderfully and tremendously done by Swami Maharaj. His preaching to the foreign countries is an inconceivable thing. So I say, Shaktivaishavatar, some supernatural transcendental power, the grace of Nityananda, entered into him, and as an instrument he has done for his Lord a tremendous work to attract your attention towards the culture of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev. Sri Gauranga's gift attracted your attention. Bhaktivinoda Thakur could see this, and our Guru Maharaj began in his mild way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw it as self-evident that the intelligentsia could not but be attracted by such a plain, simple and dignified gift, the gift of Mahaprabhu, the conception of Mahaprabhu. Such a magnanimous conception of their position, as foretold by Mahaprabhu, could not but be accepted by the sincere intelligentsia of the world. He could see this general truth. Guru Maharaj began, and Swami Maharaj successfully completed that work. After all, the divine will was fulfilled. It is not in the jurisdiction of the lower agents of this world, the subordinate gods or agents. We are attracted by this, die to live. Reality is for itself. We are to sacrifice everything for himself. We are for himself. Our prospect is in his service. All our prospect is in his service, but in the highest degree it is loving service, service of affection, without any calculation of loss and gain. It is above that, in the area of love and affection, beauty and charm. We are members there. Our prospect is there. It is offered to us, above justice, above knowledge, jnana shunya bhakti. Even if Chaitanya Dev is considered as a human being, we have never seen in any history of the world such intense affinity for the highest as was seen in him. Such an intensified mentality towards the highest conception of absolute, such self-forgetfulness. There is self-forgetfulness in Socrates, and the Christians also speak of self-sacrifice in Christ. But the degree of self-forgetfulness that was shown in the life of Sri Chaitanya Dev was never to be conceived of or seen before, even if we think of him as a human. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned in his autobiography, "When I first came to study Bhagavat and Sri Chaitanya Dev, I thought, why did an exceptional scholar like Sri Chaitanya Dev support the debauchery of the Supreme Lord in Vrindavan as the highest end of life? What is the reason? He was one of the highest and greatest scholars, and he ultimately supported the debauchery, stealing, etc., of the Absolute, as being the highest conception. How was this possible? Then I began to pray to the Lord to reveal the fact to me. I couldn't follow it." Then he said that the flash came, and with that it also came to him that Chaitanya Dev is Krishna himself. He is revealing himself, giving the clue to the scientific position of his own identity as Krishna. Why? In the highest sense, he's autocrat, above law. He's the owner of the whole, above law. He is absolute good. We must not forget that he is absolute good, with everything belonging to him. We put forth that we have claim over the environment or over ourselves. I belong to me. This is false. I am not an independent factor in this world. I am a part and a parcel. I belong to someone. I have got my master.
Everything belongs to him, and without any condition. Unconditionally, every atom belongs to the controlling center, and that is love and goodness. Where is the objection? Where is the cause for objection? No cause for objection can evidently stand if we can really find what is the real position and nature of the cause, absolute good, love. The essence of love lives by distribution, not by absorption, but by distribution. That is love. Prem is that which exists by its tendency of distribution, and that is the highest. If a mother forcibly takes her child to her breast, is it bad? The child is crying for milk, but he does not know how to mitigate the pain of hunger in his belly. So is it force or affection?
We are labouring under so much suspicion, so engrossed in and oppressed by Maya, misunderstanding, the misrepresented part of the world, that we cannot even think of the conception of truth and goodness. We are so far from the standard of goodness and truth, we cannot understand what should be the real symptom of higher existence. So fallen. Satan says, "It is better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven." That is generally the outcome of our life of experience here. We want to reign in hell rather than serve in heaven. But just the opposite will be really helpful to us. Die to live. Tikcha kale bhokta kare atma samarpan, shei kale krishna tare kare atma sham, shei deha kare tare chid anandamai, aprakrit dehe tare charana bhajai. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila 4, 192 and 93. Previously I said that Diksha was the process by which divine knowledge is imparted. The knowledge of the infinite world is imparted to the finite. What is that process? Diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan. The candidate must fully surrender to a knowledge that is coming down and being imparted to him. Sei kale krishna tare kare atma sham. Krishna accepts him as his own. It is necessary for him to give up all his knowledge of experience, fully, perfectly, and clean-handed. Naked, he will be prepared to accept the higher knowledge, and the higher knowledge will absorb him as his own. Sei deho kare taro chid anandamai. From that time, he gets a conception of another body, not this body of flesh and blood or the mind. His ego becomes coloured by the higher knowledge. He hopes for another personification of his own. And, aprakrit dehe krishna charan bhajai, in that body he can serve Krishna, not this body of flesh or the mental body which is drawn from the experience of this world. These are unfit. Only the new body, the inner body that comes in contact with that divinity, that body or ego, can enter there and serve. And this is by the grace, always by the grace, and not as a matter of right. Still, the grace is so lenient that a servitor may think, it is my right. Really, in tatashta bichar, impartial judgment, if from our relative position we venture to tackle the absolute conception, we can only think that we are unfit. Only through grace can we attain a position there. Apparently, Yashoda is whipping Krishna. Her position is superior to Krishna. Krishna is under her control. This is the relative position. But from the absolute position, Yashoda is none but a servitor of Krishna. Yet, by grace, in the relative position, she is superior. The fact is not so different because the potency is his own. Sometimes he himself is controlled by that fine potency of pleasure. He says in the story of Ambarish, Aham bhakta paradhino hyashvatantra eva dvija, I am dependent upon my devotees, as if I have got no independence. Eva means as if. That is his posing. Devotion is such. His potency, peculiar, particular potency, devotion, is so powerful that sometimes it works beyond his own will. But that is devotion to him. Submission to the master is so intense that the master becomes subservient to the servant through affection. At my beck and call he can give his life, so how should I deal with him? Automatically the master's heart goes to him. That is love, prem. Srila Rupa Goswami wrote, Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. The highest and most excellent capacity and qualification of devotion can forcibly draw Krishna towards the devotee, though he is absolutely independent. Bhakti or self-sacrifice to the extreme, sacrifice for serving, loving service, is so powerful that the Lord becomes a friend, and in different ways he comes to meet his devotees. Ashvatantra Eva Dvija. Although I am free, I depend on my devotee as though I am not. Sometimes I feel like that. This is independence proper. Absolute means this. Absolute does not mean that mercilessly he is bruising everything under his feet. There is love, embracing. All interest is represented there. He has love. He is the Lord of love. So our fortune, our luck, is represented there in him. The transaction of love and affection is so great. Hare Krishna.